Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. So great to see you all here at church at Southside. It's so great to be with you. My name is Freddie, and it's an honor to be able to speak my heart today. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then I want to give you what God has sort of put on my heart. So, Lord God, thank you so much for this amazing opportunity to be with these amazing people. Each and every one of these amazing people is one of yours. And they're called, and they have a power and a purpose and a calling. And Lord, help me to be empty so that I'm full of only you. And then help their hearts to be open to receive what for whatever it is that you have for them, not what I had planned. Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple weeks ago, Pastor Keith gave us this amazing challenge. And he said that it's our job as believers to live in such a way, to love each other, and to act in such a way that when people see us, it reminds them of Jesus. They should be able to see us and say, you know, you remind me of somebody. Oh, that's right. You remind me of the Father. And I think that's an incredible challenge, and that's absolutely correct. And what was really, really interesting is that when he said it, a part of me kind of like cringed, kind of shied away. Because that same part of me said, well, yeah, Freddie, I mean, I think that's a great idea for you. But you've messed up so many times in your life. How could you ever resemble anything other than your mistakes? And so, in order to destroy that voice that I heard within myself and to help each and every one of us, who may have also had a similar voice, destroy that voice and to silence that voice, I want to talk to us about finding the truth, telling the truth from a lie, when we make a mistake, and we're going to make mistakes, and to understand who and what we truly are and who we serve. Now, I'm going to do this in kind of an unorthodox manner today because while I was putting together this message, God kind of gave it to me in sort of an unorthodox manner, and I'm kind of an unorthodox guy, so it sort of made sense. So we're probably going to talk about some stuff that you probably didn't anticipate hearing about when you came here. You probably didn't anticipate hearing about laptops and screen settings. You probably didn't anticipate hearing about lizards and butterflies, and you really probably didn't anticipate hearing about Greek mythology, but the core of this is to understand that you are not your mistake. No matter what else that we say here, you are not your mistake. You will make mistakes because you are human, but that doesn't disqualify you from the love that God has in his grace. So let me tell you about this laptop. I used to work for Social Security, and I could work from home for 3 days and then come back into the office for the others. And they gave me this laptop because I was always, you know, typing and crunching data and looking at medical records. And I had these two different screens at my house and in the office. I know this is weird, but it's going somewhere, I promise. So whenever I would go from working from home and go back into working in the office, and I would plug it into the setup that I had there, the screens would be a little wonky. You know, maybe one of the two screens that I use would be like sideways when it's supposed to be horizontal. Maybe it was too big or too small. Maybe it didn't even show up. Now, this was a really easy fix. I just went into the little settings. I pushed a couple buttons, and I changed the display. As soon as I changed the display, both the screens would go black, and then they would come up, and everything looked perfect, and I was ready to do my day's work. And as soon as I did this, there's this little blue rectangle that shows up. And it says, keep the changes, ? Or revert to previous settings. And to make things much more interesting and slightly more stressful on a Monday morning, as it was for me, I have 15 seconds to click that button, or else all the changes went right back into place. So why am I sitting up here talking to you about a monitor and a docking station in Social Security? It's because a lot of us feel like this is what it means to believe in God. That we're kind of wrong, kind of off, a little bit like that monitor when we get back to work. We're kind of off. Maybe we're sideways and we're supposed to be horizontal. We're not doing exactly what we're supposed to do. Maybe we don't talk exactly the way we're supposed to. And that sometimes we get it right. Sometimes, hey, look, I'm going to church the right way. I'm saying the right things. I haven't cursed since like 6:30 in the morning. I'm doing really good. And then for whatever reason, maybe we forget to click the right button. Maybe we forget to stay quote unquote perfect as we expect ourselves to be. And then we end up reverting back to the way that we were. And we choose in that moment to believe that just because we made a mistake like we made the day before, that we are the way we were the day before. That's a lie. That is an actual lie. Just because you may make a mistake like you did the day before, you are a new and different creature. But it's hard to feel it sometimes, right? It's hard to feel that. Like for me, as I've talked to you guys about this a lot, my struggles with anger that I've had. Sometimes I'll work and I'll pray and I'll go to the altar at a church or I'll tell the pastor about like, hey, I got this problem with anger and we'll pray about it. And I'll feel like it's finally gone, finally under control. And I am finally able to call myself a good, upright Christian. And then at some point when I'm driving down Highway 280 and somebody cuts me off in a sinful manner in their sinful little car, the sinful way that they drive. And then all of a sudden I begin to get angry all over again. And what do I say to myself? Oh, there's old Freddy. You thought you was doing something different, but you're still the same old angry sucker sitting in here cussing at this car that's probably been gone for about 5 minutes and are no longer on Highway 280. I'm just being real. What about addiction? It's a similar story. You can go 15, 20, 30 days and you will stay sober. And then on that 31st day, you're pressured and something happens and you fall a little bit short. And on that 31st day, you believe you're just the same addict that you were 31 days ago. But that, my brothers and sisters, is a heartbreaking and exhausting lie. Now, the sad thing is, a lot of people will teach Christianity that way. If you grew up anything like me, you probably heard a whole lot more about hell and damnation and what happens when you screw up than you did about God's grace and how to live. So we're taught to try to be perfect, knowing that we can't, setting us up to fail and hating ourselves in the process. And there's another religion that sort of gives us a good image of what this looks like. So in Greek mythology, there is a king whose name is Sisyphus. And this king is kind of a shifty character, always trying to scam folks out of the stuff that they got. And so it comes time for Sisyphus to actually die. And he even scams some of the Greek gods out of his death. He cheats death twice. So the king of all the gods in the Greek mythology world, Zeus, decides to curse him. He puts him down into Hades, and he tells him to push this boulder up the top of the hill. So he pushes the boulder up the top of the hill. It's extremely heavy. It's extremely difficult. And he finally gets it up to the top of the hill, and he is so excited. Cool, my damnation is over. I served my time. And when you know it, the doggone thing rolls down the other side of the hill, and he just has to do it again and again and again until the end of time. And let me tell y'all something, brothers and sisters. I have felt kind of like my spiritual life was a lot like Mr. Sisyphus's. That's a hard word to say, Sisyphus's. Because I felt like I was trying so hard to be perfect. I was trying so hard to be a good God-fearing Christian. I was trying to make sure that I said the right things and I walked the right way. I approached people the right way. I didn't let people see the parts of me that I thought would turn them off or make them angry. I hid all of my bad stuff. I showed all of my good stuff. And it was exhausting. And all I'm doing is pushing the same boulder of my burden up that hill. And for a minute, I think I got everybody fooled. Everybody's like, yeah, Freddie is amazing. Look at me. I went to church twice this month. I paid 80-something percent of my taxes. I did so good. I came so close. But you know what always ends up happening? The boulder's going to roll back down the hill because it's not our job to lift it. It is not your job to be perfect. Because we cannot and we weren't created to be perfect. It is our job, however, to be perfectly us, whoever we may be. Understand that the false belief that you need to be perfect is your boulder, and if you keep trying to push it up the hill, it will crush you, and it is a lie. Whether you screw up once or 1 billion times, whether you fall short 6 years after asking for God's grace or 6 minutes after, whether you did everything right or whether you literally are going to do something wrong in the next minute and are planning to enjoy it, it doesn't matter. And why doesn't it matter? Because as soon as you accept God's grace, as soon as you ask God for forgiveness, as soon as you just tell God to help you, it's not a ceremony. You don't have to be in front of a church. You don't have to be in front of a preacher. It doesn't matter. You could do it with a needle in your arm or in the bed with someone that you shouldn't be. It doesn't matter. As soon as you ask him for grace, you are a new creature. The old you died in that exact moment, never to rise again. Jesus is real good at resurrecting dead things, but he leaves that dead thing dead. I got proof of this. It's not just the way that I feel. In Ezekiel 36, 25, God says, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God's up here trying to do spiritual surgery. Precisely removing out the parts of you that do not lead to your life and do not lead to you being happy. And removing the stuff, throwing it aside and replacing it with a heart that can feel, with a heart that can love, with a heart that has compassion. You're new. Even if you act old, you are new. Even if you act wrong, you are new. And you are in the image of Christ. So we understand that we're not like my old laptop from Social Security, because that's a lie. You don't just have to do everything perfectly and push a button at exactly the right time, or else you are damned. We're not like old tricky King Sisyphus, because it's not our job to push up our boulders. So then what are we like? Let me tell you another story. A couple of summers ago, my family, because we were shut in for the quarantine, decided to get this butterfly kit. So they send you this cup of these really funny looking caterpillars. And they give you this little enclosure. And over the next couple of weeks, the caterpillars will eat the stuff, and it gets a little dicey in there because they don't have like a porta potty or anything. They just go. Regardless, they eat and they grow and they eat and they grow. And when they're ready, they climb up to the top of the lid of this cup and attach themselves, spin some little web-like stuff and enter into a cocoon. After a couple of weeks, they pop out of said cocoon. And they are butterflies. They're not yet ready to fly. You got to give them some sugar, some water. And then eventually, you open up the enclosure outside, and they flutter away. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. But me, being the nerd that I am, I wanted to know a little bit more about the process that was actually happening to these butterflies. So I know, we're about to nerd out for just a minute, but I promise you, we're almost done. There are these two processes that happen. One is called apolysis, and the other is called ecdysis. All right, so fancy words. The first one, apolysis, just means that the creature, whether it's a snake, and we call it molting, or a caterpillar, goes into this state where they're mostly dormant. They're mostly asleep. And their body produces these chemicals that actually dissolves away the connection between their outer shell and their true inner self. And that can be very, very traumatic, I would imagine, which is why the particular entity, the bug, the snake, doesn't really move very much. They're not really present. So that's apolysis. It separates them from their outer self. Ecdysis, however, is the process of putting all of that stuff inside that cocoon back together to form the new thing, and then the new thing bursting out of the old shell. You can kind of see where I'm going here. You have been through a similar process. You have gone through the difficult moments, and when you ask God for help, you are separating yourself from those outer things that hurt you. And it can be hard sometimes to face the things that we've done that we regret doing. And that's that apolysis. That's that separating of the outer shell. But you know what? You're more than just an outer shell. You are made in the image of Christ. You are a spiritual being. And your true self, with God's help, will always shine through. You have to understand. It's a fascinating process. And it's not just caterpillars. As I said, actually salamanders too. It's kind of cool. Because or a lizard, if a lizard loses its tail, once it goes through the process, in ecdysis, they can actually regrow old, broken, or removed limbs. God can actually fix stuff that you were missing. You don't just have to come out of the cocoon the way you think is good enough. You will come out of the cocoon the way that God thinks is good enough, which probably exceeds your idea by about infinity. That's the true nature of you. Not someone built to push a boulder and not someone that has to be perfect every single second. No! You are perfect right now. You were perfect when you made a mistake. You were perfect when you lied. You were perfect when you cheated. You were perfect when you fell back. But as we embrace God, we become, excuse the grammatical incorrection, more perfecter and more perfecter as the days go on. But God views you as perfect today, just the way that you were created. Ephesians 2:10 is my favorite verse, and I'm going to work it in right here. For you are God's handiwork, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. He knew everything you'd do wrong, and he felt that you were overly qualified to do the mission and the calling he had for you. So you were perfect from birth, and you remain perfect, and you only get more perfecter as the times go on. Please don't tell my middle school teachers that I just say I'm more perfecter. But how are we supposed to teach ourselves this? When everything in our life, including the world that we live in, tells us that we're not perfect and that we're not getting perfecter. It tells us that when we screw up, we're terrible and that is over. Well, the first thing you need to do is to get the truth into you. Galatians 2:19, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, dead. The new has come. Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I, God, is doing a new thing. 2 Colossians 3:9, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, get the truth into you. Now, I'm not saying that it's just as simple as, well, you need to read the Bible more, but it does actually help to have a verse that helps you to see your way through when you don't see a way. it helped me to understand the role that my anger plays. Because there was a time where I thought until I perfected myself and got rid of this anger, I could never serve God or anybody. And then I was introduced to the story of my man Peter. A hothead, a dude who uses coarse language, a guy who even while sitting there throughout all of Jesus's ministry, when it came time for Jesus to be arrested, he's the guy who takes the sword and cuts the dude's ear off. That guy. And what did Jesus say about this hothead who never got a cooler head throughout the ministry? He said, "You are the rock upon which I will build my church." Peter was perfect. He was perfectly Peter. I'm perfectly Freddy. In a whole bunch of imperfect ways, I am perfectly Freddy. And I can serve God just by trying to be me and trying to be honest. And then trying to seek out God's power to help me do what he asked me to do that I don't feel able. But I want you all to think about something. We have to be careful about our internal dialogue every time we slip. Because you can have these verses in your heart, but if you agree with the dark one's words, if you agree with the outside world that every time you lie or cheat, you are a liar and a cheater, it's really, really hard to function. So you have to be and willing to fight. Because imagine, when that butterfly first came out of that cocoon at my house, his wings were wet and he couldn't fly. It would be a couple days, maybe like a week before he could fly. So the butterfly comes out and the butterfly's like, "Oh, snap, I look amazing. Look at these new wings. Oh, wait, they don't work? You mean I went through all of this, I became jello for a minute, and now I'm still walking the same way I did as a caterpillar? I give up. I'm just going to walk around, do nothing." If the butterfly, just because he couldn't fly that day, assumed he was nothing more than what he was before, he would never spread his wings. We have to be willing to trust that we were created to spread our wings and to be more than just our mistakes. Something else that's important to do is to find your progress. What do I mean by that? So I told you the story about me and my anger and how I would take my problems to church and I would go to the altar and I would pray for them. And I could go a while without snapping on somebody or losing it in traffic. And then I snap on somebody or lose it in traffic. However, at least I went a while. At least I acknowledged that I had a problem, because before I was just being old Freddy. To see that you have a problem is progress. The person who is addicted to alcohol, who goes 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 2 months, 7 months, 2 years, and then because of forces beyond them, falls short. It's not a moral failing. They fell short. But they went so long without doing it, and that is progress. We are not as perfect as we will be at the end of our lives or when God finishes working on us. But God tells us in the Bible that he's not going to start working on us until the day of judgment. So it's going to be a long time, y'all, but you're just fine perfect right now. Find your progress. And when that negative voice starts talking to you, recite it back to it. Like, "Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, maybe I did slip up, but I went longer this time than I've ever gone. And that means that next time I'll go even longer. And next time I'll go even longer. Because God is with me and I can do everything with him." Get the truth of the verses into your heart. Find your progress. Prove it to yourself. And be your cheerleader instead of your destroyer. Because we each have a calling, and I'm telling you, there's nobody in Birmingham as powerful or as effective as you all. But we can't do our calling, we can't fulfill our mission if we are destroying ourselves at every turn. So release the self-hate. Prove to yourself that you're good instead of agreeing with yourself that you're bad. And get God's word into you so that you're ready to help someone else do the same. Stop beating yourself up. Identify with your progress. Identify with God's purpose for your life. And live it like you ain't got nothing else to do. I love you guys so much. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Lord, thank you so much for what you've given us. Lord, touch each and every heart so that we can throw off this self-destruction. We can throw off the self-defeat. We can stop believing the lie that I am every mistake that I do. Let them see the way that you see their own perfection, their beauty, their power. And then, Lord, help them to stand up, flex those new wings, and fly into their calling and their purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys so much. Thank y'all.